sound that saved a wretch like me. Why?
This is 139 in your hymn book. Are you thankful that he abides this evening? I know I am. Amen. I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this pilgrim way. For the hand of God in all my life I see. And the reason of my bliss, yes, the secret all is this, that the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides. Yes, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. Oh, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. And once my heart was full of sin, once I had no peace within, till I heard how Jesus died upon the tree. And then I fell down at his feet, and there came a peace so sweet. Now the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, yes, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. Oh, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way for the Comforter. Let's stand and sing it to him. Oh, he is with me everywhere, and he knows my every care. I'm as happy as a bird, just as free. And for the Spirit has control, Jesus satisfies my soul, since the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides. Oh, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. Thirsting for the things of the world, they've taken wings. Long ago I gave them up and instantly. And all my night was turned to day, all my burdens rolled away. Now the Comforter abides with me. Oh, he abides, yes, he abides. Oh, with me. Oh, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way, for the Comforter abides with me. Yes, he abides. Oh, he abides. Oh, hallelujah, he abides with me. Oh, I'm rejoicing night and day as I walk this narrow way. Brother Nathan mentioned this song Wednesday evening, and I know if you've been to any of the camps, you probably know it. And if you don't know it, it's easy, but it's true. So there's a lot of actions, but I'm probably not going to do them. But if you feel led to, hey, we all looked around all over till we found Jesus. So you just help me out here. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like him. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like him. I ran around, all over, I searched around. All over, I turned around. All over, there's no one like him. Oh yes, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like him. There's
you believe that? Oh, yes, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. I ran around all over, I searched around. All over, I turned around. All over, there's no one, there's no one. I ran around, oh yes, I ran around. All over, I searched around. All over, I turned around. All over, there's no one.
That little chorus. I see Brother Norbert back there. He knows it, and he knows how to do the motions as well. Amen. That's good. I believe that song originally came from Africa. Is that right, brother? I believe some of the believers over there sang it, and then we adopted it. But it sure is a wonderful message. So, amen. God bless you. It's good to be in church this evening. I want to welcome you to the house of the Lord and welcome all of our visitors here as we go to prayer. Brother Gary Simmons, would you come up and pray over the prayer request? It's Brother Joshua Johnson's not feeling well. I want to remember him, and also Brother Hoover. I want to continue to remember him in prayers. He's not here this evening, but you have an unspoken prayer request you'd like to make known to the Lord?
And also two prayer requests that I didn't get time to get to Brother Furman. Brother Jeffrey Johnson from Africa, he's not feeling well, just I think exhausted from stress and overwork of what he's doing over there. So I believe he's in the hospital right now and requested that we pray for him. And then also Sister Debbie Pierce is not feeling well in the basement with a swollen ankle tonight, so I want to remember her in prayer. But God bless you, brother.
Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, you know each and every one of these requests, Lord. Lord, they were made with sincerity, Lord, to you from your children. You said you'll ask what you will and you'll have it, Lord. We believe your word. Lord, thank you for this assembly tonight with your children, these little licks of fire, Lord, putting their hearts and faith toward these prayer requests. Lord, we know they will be answered in a marvelous way, Lord. And we thank you for that mercy and grace to us. Lord, be with us through the rest of the service. Be with Brother Trevor and Lord, touch our hearts and heal our souls if we need that, Lord, to draw us a little closer to you. For we love you and we're so grateful for that love that you've shed abroad in us, that you've drawn us to this word, to you. Lord, we humbly ask these things in that precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. At this time, we have a special from Sister Leah Leek and Anna Pierce. So a couple, if they want to make their way. A couple weeks ago, I'd have Brother Hoover take over for me one service, and I had one special planned, and that special canceled. But by the time I made it to church, he had two specials. So I thought I would learn something from my brother that's been doing this a little bit longer. So this evening, I took it upon myself to round up a couple specials, and just looking forward to them, and I pray that they bless you. God bless you.
His mind.
I asked them to sing that song, and it really blessed me. So much truth to that song. Amen.
Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. There'll be no more dying there. We are going to see the King. There'll be no more dying there. We are going to see the King. There'll be no more dying there. We are going to see the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going to see the King. There'll be no more crying there. We are going to see the King. There'll be no more crying there. We are going to see the King. There'll be no more crying there. We are going to see the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're going.
Sing that soon and very soon, Brother Ben. Would you prepare for your special?
Soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, we're going.
And I believe that, don't you? Praise the Lord. Good to have the Puzon family with us tonight. I know Brother David pretty well. He used to work with me. He one of the few people, a lot of people don't know, but he, September 11, 2011, there was we all know what happened, the Travelers fell and everything. And that evening, they had him on a plane. He was one of the first 50, 100, something like that, that was in Afghanistan. So he done a lot. Serve his country and all. We appreciate him, but he's a buddy of mine. But good to have him here tonight with us. God bless you. Amen. Just if you know this song, help us while we sing it. Thankful he's in the house, aren't you? Hey.
Little girl was lying there, people all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus. Said she's only sleeping. As he took her by the hand, she began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord, and some began to say, he's in the house. Death has to flee. Oh, now there is light where darkness used to be.
that little girl dead in all our sins. But Jesus touched his heart and mind and gave me life again. Oh, I am just a house of clay, but ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see. Oh, he's in the house. Death has to flee. Oh, now there is light where darkness used to be. Oh, now there is hope. There's no more doubt. Oh, praise his name. Praise his name. Heart of mine and gave me life again. Oh, I am just a house of clay, but ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see. He's in the house. Death has to flee. Oh, now there is life where dark used to be.
Appreciate our specials this evening. Amen. Amen. Sure appreciate that. There's two spots open Wednesday night, so you just pray. And if the Lord leads you, we'd love to have you sing. It sure is a blessing for me, and I know that it lifts the name of the Lord. So God bless you. Let's stand as we invite Brother Trevor to come. Let your word be born in the manger of my heart, Lord, let it live in me. Lord, live inside this house of clay and mold it every day. Oh, let your word be born in the manger.
I just like that, how those last two songs kind of went together. He's in the house and live inside this house of clay. I want him in this house. Amen. That's my desire. Lord, live inside of me in this house. Amen. Amen. Have your Bibles. We'll turn to Revelations chapter 2. Just going to read verse 12 to start with. Revelations chapter 2 and verse 12. Unto the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. We just bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, truly we want you to live inside this house. We want your word to be born, Lord Jesus, inside of us. Lord, let that seed, Lord, become watered and planted and begin to grow, Lord, and begin to produce fruit. Begin to be everything that you want it to be in our lives, oh God. Father, would you bless this service? Would you come and, Lord, would you be magnified? Lord, would your word just go forth and may we be just enamored by the truth that you've laid before us in your word. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and may we see how real this message that you've given to us is. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. And you may be seated. So, we're going to continue on with our church age book study. I think there's a few, maybe visitors, maybe a few people that haven't been with us while we're doing this. I wrote a little curriculum on the seven church ages. There's a few copies in the back that if you don't just take one just because you want to have one, but if you're actually going to, go through it and use your church age book and do it, that's what it's there for. 75 lessons takes you through reading the entire church age book. So that's what we've been doing together as a church. Amen. Amen. And I know everybody's caught up to page. Where are we at here now? We should all be caught up generally to page 100 and, oh, it's going to be right here somewhere. 158 is where we're starting at. So just a few pages in now. So those of you that have been keeping up, I'm sure you're very rewarded by what you've been reading. So we'll go through our questions, a little bit of review for lessons 29 and 30. Why did Joshua and Caleb get to go to the promised land? Because they stayed with the word. They took it and lived it as well. But they stayed with the word. So here's our little challenge question. And I'm going to stop here for just a few minutes. Think of the other 10 spies, other than Joshua and Caleb. If you would have asked them before they became spies, do you believe the word? What do you think they would have said? These are the 10 spies that said, no, we can't do it. We can't go take the land. But the day before, if you would have asked them, do you believe the word? What do you think their answer would have been? Yes. Absolutely. Of course we believe the word. We're Israelites. Of course. If you would have asked them, do you believe Moses was a prophet? What do you think they would have said? Yes. Amen. Absolutely. Of course we came out of Egypt. Who do you think we followed out of Egypt? It was Moses. Yes, we believe Moses is a prophet. And then they go, and the challenges of the world begin to really come in. Then they get to a place where now they have to decide. Like, actually, the message of that day, Moses' message, now has to be taken. And this is what Brother Branham said was the word test. It was at Kadesh Barnea is where they were. And now the message has come and they've been taught it. They've been following it. They've been seeing the signs and wonders. But now they're coming to a place where the message must live. Yeah. Yeah. Amen. Oh, everybody can say, yes, I believe God sent a prophet. Yes, amen. Moses brought us out. Absolutely. Okay, great. But his message said, you're going to inherit a promised land. So I want you 10 to go and look over things and tell us how we're going to do it. Oh, man, we can't do it. But the prophet of your day said that the word living in you would produce these results. Yeah, I mean, of course Moses is a prophet, yes. Of course, and if Moses would, you know, lead us across, of course we'd just follow. But no. See, I always thought that was strange. Why didn't Moses just lead them across? Like, okay, there's the promised land. Let's go, people. Isn't that what he was supposed to be doing? But no, they stop. And I've always felt that as why did they stop? It's so that the message now could live inside of the people. They were already in the church of Moses. They were already following the vindicated prophet of that day. But yet it came to a place where there was a word test. And there's going to come to a place, you know, when you're going to have your own personal word test. You're going to have a time when you come to say, you know, am I going to live this? Is this word going to live inside of me? Is it going to produce the results that the vindicated prophet of our day said it would produce? Or am I just following a prophet? Now, I want to be careful here. I don't want anyone to look, I'm not speaking in terms of current message politics by any stretch of the matter. But it must be dealt with that many of us have come from places where we were just told, you know, follow the prophet and it will be okay. Just follow the prophet. And well, praise God. Look, I'm just following the prophet. I mean, that's what we're supposed to do, right? We're supposed to follow the prophet. Amen. You're supposed to follow the prophet. But if you think that's virtuous, we've really got to stop. 2 million people followed a prophet. 1,999,998 died. And Jesus comes along and says, they're everyone dead. Brother Branham tells us when he was saying that, what he was saying was that was the second death. They were spiritually lost. But two, Joshua and Caleb, recognized what the word of God, what the prophet was sent to bring the word to them. And they said, yeah, what he said about me is what I'm going to go do. Now, don't misunderstand anything. Look, Joshua and Caleb came out from the group that was following the prophet. So you've got to be there first. You've got to be part of the group following a prophet. But just because you're in that group doesn't mean you're that. Look, that's a good first step. You got to get there before you can get on to the promised land. But just because you're there doesn't mean you're going to take a promised land. You could be sitting here today saying, of course, I believe there's a prophet. Yes. Mm-hmm. Amen. Moses was a prophet. William Branham's a prophet. Absolutely. Believe that. No problems. Okay. Now it's Kadesh Barnea. You go spy out the land. What are you going to do? Is the word enough for you? Is the word enough for you? Put you on a desert island all alone. Is the word enough for you? How do you serve the Lord? Take you from this church, put you in a big city. You have to have a job that, you know, for a couple of years before you can move back. How do you live in that big city all alone? No one around you. Your friends from work. Come on, just come. Just let's go, you know. No one will know. Why not just live that way? You see, the word test is going to come to you, and you're going to come to a place where it's got to live. Where it's got to come, and is it just, am I just following? Or has something taken place on the inside that has changed me? And where maybe this flesh would have gone and done things that it shouldn't have. But now, because that word has taken root, and he's now in the house, something's different. That's what we're talking about, church. That's what we're talking about. So today we're going to talk about it. If well, hopefully we'll get this far. What does it mean to hear the word? What does it mean to hear the word? Amen. So we continue on with our questions. Who was the perfect and complete thought of God? It was Jesus. That's beautiful. The perfect and complete thought of God. Jesus. Amen. Does the bride come from the same source as Jesus? Yes, she does. Redeem means to buy back. Can a son of God go a long time before recognizing he is a son of God? Yes, yes, he can. So, hey, have grace for your brothers and sisters. You don't have to, look, we don't have to put people in message molds. You know, I'll never forget Brother Ron Spencer talking about we put people in molds and we make message jello. It's just jello, but it looks like the message, you know, because we mold them on the outside and they can just follow a prophet. Yay. We just talked about that. That's not going to help. Or we can get the reality. So let's have grace for one another. Maybe somebody is taking it a little while. Once the Son of God hears the cry of the Spirit by the word, what will he do? He will realize who he is and run to the great prophet eagle and be with him forever, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Amen. So we recognize, look, what I'm saying when I'm saying just following Moses isn't enough, I'm not saying that we have to stop following Moses. I'm not saying that we go beyond Moses. I'm not saying any of those things. The prophet is a very pivotal thing to us, as we'll see every single church age, unto the angel. The message went to the angel. Not to the church, it went to the angel. The angel takes it to the church. You can't get past the prophet. That's just not going to happen. What is redemption? There it is. Jesus Christ came forth, died upon the cross, and accomplished redemption, restoring to original owner by means of purchase or paying the price, and thereby placed us as sons. So if we're redeemed, it's because we were with him always. We were in the eternal thoughts of God. What is the baptism of the Holy Ghost? It is the Spirit baptizing you into the body of Christ. It is the new birth. Amen. Do we believe in the preexistence of souls? But we were in the eternal thoughts of God. Right? But so there's a person and there's the seed. The seed, the thought always was, and that seed is in the person. No, we don't believe in preexistence of souls. We're not Mormons. What comes predestinated eternally from God? The word or seed? The true evidence of being baptized with the Holy Ghost is for the believer to receive the word for the age in which he lives. That's what we're going to talk about. What does that mean? What does it mean to receive the word for the age in which you live? How many messengers does the word come to for each age? Amen. Notice here that Jesus, by the Spirit, in every age addresses himself to only one person relative to the word for that age. However, that being said, you individually must have the revelation by the Spirit of God that what that one is saying is truth. Amen? Amen. Amen. We do not get away from personal revelation. It's not a collective revelation. It's not because this church believes it. It's not because your family believes it. But God addressed himself to one person. That was William Marion Branham for this age. We hear that. And God reveals it to us that that's truth. After the messenger comes, how does the message get spread further? There spreads the light through the ministry of others who've been faithfully taught. Brother Branham says, in every age, we have exactly the same pattern. We talked about this on the last time. You know, we're not saying we're getting away from tapes. We're so blessed by having the tapes. And we listened to one this morning, and it was wonderful. And I tell you what, you know, just, you know what it's like. Well, only the ministers, I guess, maybe know what it's like to be a minister and listen to a tape like that. You know, you could just, okay, that was great. Like, I could preach for 3 hours now off of that one You know, like, there's like three quotes, and I could just take 3 hours, and it'd be great, you know? Well, I'd think it'd be great. Maybe everybody else would think, like, okay, we're ready for lunch, but, you know, we're so blessed by that. And so we don't do away with that. That is how we become faithfully taught. Amen? How do we get back to revival? You know, as I was saying, I've always said it this way. Look, before any time a message preacher will preach, there had to be a tape meeting somewhere. Or he ain't a message preacher, you know? Somebody's got to listen to the tape. Now, whether you're going to do that in church, whether he's going to do it in his study or somewhere, somebody's listening to a tape sometime. So we praise God. Amen? I'm thankful for having him. It's just... Okay, how do we get back to revival? Nobody has this memorized. Every fresh and true revival will be because men have gotten back to the word of their age. Actually, everybody should have that memorized. Okay, so which do you esteem or want more? The word or a nice juicy steak? Sure hope it's the word. Now if you get super hungry. And the pastor's like, one more quote, and you're like, no. Bring Brother Furman up. I want my T-bone. So I mean, sometimes you gotta think about that though. What is your priority? Amen. All right, so here's the vegetarian version. Which do you esteem, you know, and it's so sad that Brother Hoover's not here. Because I added triple steamed into this slide just for him. So, but anyhow, we, yeah, no problems there. Amen. So we come to the moment we've all been waiting for, our new memorization section for the Pergamean Age chapter. What is that? Chapter 5. And this one, well, I've had memorized for a very, very long time, at least close. And so together we recite, so when a spirit-born, spirit-filled man in faith takes that word into his heart and places it upon his lips, why, that is the same as deity speaking. Every mountain has to go. Satan cannot stand before that man.
Amen.
Amen. We just go home and be blessed now, so that's... Just, you know, do y'all want to say it again? I mean, it's really good. Okay, so when a spirit-born, spirit-filled man in faith takes that word into his heart and places it upon his lips, why, that is the same as deity speaking. Every mountain has to go. Satan cannot stand before that man. Amen. Because we're made out of stuff that doesn't bluff.
Amen.
Amen. So here we are. We're on the seven churches. Yes, the map slide. We have to see it because it took me so long, as you all know. So Pergamos is up here in the top corner. That one up there. So that's Pergamos. That's the city that this, the local city that this letter was addressed to. About the size of Indiana, about the size of Pennsylvania, that's what those little overlays are for. Amen. There were other cities that had Christian churches in them, but God addressed it to seven of those cities. Why? Does anybody remember? Their spirit matched the age, yes. It's characteristics. The characteristics of that city match the characteristics of the age. But yes, Spirit, you had the right idea there, yes. All right, so we come to our timeline, the Ephesian, Smyrna, and Pergamean age, 294-year age, starting in 312 and ending in 606. Everybody should be able to see that decently. All right, so that's where we are. Where are you? Well, you're somewhere right around here. What does that tell you? It tells you this is history. This is history. This isn't a story. This is history. This is reality. This isn't just Christianity, you know, theology made up. No, everything that we're talking about in the Church Age book directly applies to history. It was prophesied before these things happened. Now, and then it was said that you don't get it now, but there's going to be a seventh angel come, and now we're living in the days of those seventh angel, and it said when he's here, He's going to bind up all these mysteries. You're going to understand these things. And guess what? It's true. It happened. And now we see history is being made plain that was already prophesied many, many years ago in AD 95 and 96. So we remind ourselves of what the keystone is. Sorry I didn't make this slide bigger, but an unchanging God with unchanging ways. What he did at the first, he will have to keep on doing until it is done for the last time. There will never be a change. Apply that to the church ages. The kind of man that God chose for the first age, how God manifested in that man's ministry, would be an example for all other ages. What God did in the first church age is what he wants to do in all other ages. So the seven churches will look like the first church. The true churches. The seven messengers will look like the first messenger. Who was that first messenger?
Paul.
Paul. Amen. And the first church age was? Ephesus. The second was? Smyrna. Who was the second messenger? Irenaeus. And let's see here. Oh, what does Ephesus mean? Yes. That was definitely a characteristic of the age. But the word Ephesus, aimed at relaxed. Aimed at relaxed. And the word Smyrna means bitterness. Bitterness. Myrrh. Bitter. Bitterness. So now we come to Pergamean age and we talk about the messenger. Commonly known as St. Martin. He was Martin of Tours. He was born in Hungary. You see the image there we have. Many of you have probably heard the story. Brother Branham talks about it many times. And yes, it's in the church age book. Where he talks about coming along and seeing a beggar. And it was a cold night. And he takes half of his cloak and he cuts it in half. And he wraps the beggar in it. And he keeps himself warm. He figured they could both survive the night if they both had half a cloak. And so then there he is sleeping that night, and Jesus comes to him wrapped in that half a cloak. You see what you do to the least of these, my little ones, you've done it unto me. Amen. So this is the character of this man, and the character of all these messengers. You know, they looked like Paul. That's how Brother Branham identified these men, is that he looked to see, are they like Paul? Are they against organization? Do they have signs and wonders following in their lives? What does their life and ministry match the first messenger? Because the Bible tells us who the first messenger was, and then that it was Paul. And so how do we figure out the second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh? How do they look like Paul? And who is the man of that age that most resembles the first messenger? And in this age, Brother Branham picked Martin of Tours. He was the bishop of Lyon in France. In the message that Brother Branham preached, the Pergamean age, he says, "I picked Saint Martin because that he was a godly man. To my opinion, he was 10 times more apostle than Saint Patrick was. Now, the Catholic Church did not canonize him; they did not recognize him, and that's another reason I picked him." The life of St. Martin is one of the greatest miracle-filled lives of anybody in the church ages. From all the way from St. Paul out, he was one of the most spiritual men. Brother Branham says of his character that he was constant, he championed truth, he was spirit-led, and he prayed for his friends and his enemies. He says no one could be, he said never could he be induced to preach until he had first prayed and was in such spiritual frame as to know and deliver the full counsel of God by the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven. You know, I bet that the people of the Pergamean age were glad that he did that. Even if they were kept waiting, often he would keep the people waiting while he prayed for full assurance. You can have confidence in a man like that. You know he's praying through to hear from God. Amen. It was said no one ever saw him angry or disturbed or grieving or laughing. He was always one and the same and seemed something beyond mortal, wearing on his countenance a sort of celestial joy. You know, that's kind of an interesting one to me because it's like, okay, how are you doing on the whole no one ever sees you angry or disturbed or grieving? Yeah. probably not so good. Okay, but does anybody ever see you laughing? Well, that's pretty good. Why would we, like, okay, yeah, maybe we should take notes from him to not be angry or disturbed or grieved, but should we take notes from it and, like, well, why wouldn't I want people to see me laughing? Like, what's wrong with that? Well, nothing's wrong with that, but on his countenance, a sort of celestial joy. I think maybe he had found something that was even beyond laughter. That's something to think about. Never was anything on his lips but Christ. Never anything in his heart but piety, peace, and pity. Often did he weep for the sins even of those his detractors, who when he was quiet and absent attacked him with viperous lips, poisoned tongues. Many hated him for the virtues they themselves did not possess and could not imitate, and alas, his bitterest assailants were bishops. Again, who in the Bible was ever persecuted for the things they did wrong? Or were they hated because of all the things that they did right? And do you think you're different? Do you think you're different? Do you think the people who should know better should be the ones who are definitely not persecuting you? No. No, we're not different in any of these ways. But I can tell you what as I read through this section, I want to be more like these men. I want to be more like Martin. I want to be more like Columba. I want to be more like Brother Branham. I want to have the kind of prayer life that they had. I mean, that's where it started. I mean, if our prayer lives match their prayer lives, maybe, you know, our lives might match their lives a little bit. Maybe a different gift, different calling. But think about it for a minute, church. How's your prayer life? Do you pray for your friends and your enemies? Got quiet. And what would cause someone to pray sincerely for their friends and their enemies? The love of Christ. How do you get more of that? Well, probably prayer. Probably spending more time with Him. Think of what it does, church. Just having that relationship with Him. Amen? So the city, Pergamos. Where is Pergamos? As we mentioned before, it's number 3 on this map, the one there in the top corner. And just a few notes. Brother Ren doesn't say a whole lot about Pergamos, other than, you know, they worshipped different kinds of things, but one of the ones in particular he says is they worshipped this particular god in the form of an actual snake. So the snake apparently was in some glass case or something or other, and they worshipped their god through that snake. So that's interesting anyway. I don't know what to do with that other than that's what he said. So, but where Satan's seat is one of the things talked about. And in Pergamos, you find the temple of Zeus or the altar of Zeus. If you search temple of Zeus, you might find the one in some other city in Greece. I don't remember. But this, if you look at it, if you look at this altar, this temple that was erected, it kind of looks like a seat, doesn't it? And so we'll talk about what that is and what Satan's seat was and spiritually. Brother Branham says the reason this is part of the eulogy, and we'll get to this in a few lessons away, but just some highlights that we'll go through. The reason that this is a part of the eulogy of the Spirit is because these brave soldiers of the cross were overcoming Satan right in the midst of his own throne room. They were winning the battle through the name and faith of Jesus right in the camp of the leaders of darkness. I just love that. Just makes me happy. Okay, so we talked about what Ephesus means. We talked about what Smyrna means. Now it's time to reveal what Pergamos means. It means married. So Ephesus meant aimed at, relaxed. Smyrna means bitterness. Pergamos means married. Now remember, when we started talking about the Ephesian age, we really focused in on relationship quite a bit. And we talked about relationship versus Nicolaitanism. And if as you drift away from relationship, you get more into Nicolaitanism. And you get into those deeds, and those deeds then become doctrines, and we'll talk about the doctrines of the Nicolaitans. But if we look at, okay, we aimed at, they were aiming high, and then they relaxed. And so they relaxed in their desire, their first love, that relationship. They relaxed in that relationship, and because they relaxed in that relationship, things weren't going as well for them, between them and Christ, and so then they got bitter. You know, so then they didn't love their enemies quite as much. They didn't love their friends quite as much. They didn't love Jesus quite as much. And so then when problems came up, guess what they did? They argued. Because they left their first love, they got more bitter. And so then when you leave your first love and then you get bitter, and then a different marriage comes along. And a new relationship comes along. And that is what we're going to talk about in this age, is this marriage of religion and politics. This marriage of not only religion and politics, but also the marriage of true religion and the false religion. The intertwining of the true vine and the false vine becomes very, very real in this age. So we were created for relationship, brothers and sisters. We're going to find it somewhere. So it's either with Jesus or not Jesus. And amen. So we'll talk more on that marriage later. So then we get to the salutation of the Pergamene age. And just a little bit of a preview of some of the topics that we're going to be discovering here throughout this chapter. Mystery Babylon. Pick up your pen and write. The doctrine of the Nicolaitans. The doctrine of Balaam. The Bradford Pear Tree and Joe Teenager. Brother Brunham doesn't actually talk about the Bradford Pear Tree and Joe Teenager. Those will be my examples of some of these things. But just a little preview of a lot of the fun that we're going to have across this next chapter. Just trying to whet your appetite, get you excited about, you know, getting into the Pergamene age. So coming back to our scripture, Revelation chapter 2, 12 through 17, to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, "These things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is. Thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwelt. But I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrines of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, saying he that receiveth it." So after we get through this whole chapter, all of that's going to make sense to you. And maybe not all of it makes sense right now. But there's a few things that we want to look at. You see, now that we're three ages in, we're really five chapters in, but three of the actual ages chapters that we're in, we can begin to start looking at some of the patterns. You see, if we looked at the patterns in the beginning, it might not quite make sense to us. But now here through the middle, let's begin to look at some of the patterns that you're going to see in each age. And we've talked about some of them. But we also saw unto the angel. It tells us to whom each age is being addressed. Each age says unto the angel of Pergamos, unto the angel of Smyrna, unto the angel of Laodicea. Each age says it's being addressed unto the angel. So there's going to be a messenger of each age, and every single passage for each age says that. The next thing we come to, after it is identified to whom it is addressed, what comes next for each age? These things saith he that something. It tells us who is doing the speaking. So, who it's addressed to, who it's from. Just like a letter, that's what it is. Tells us who's doing the speaking. Now, who do we find is doing the speaking in each age? Well, he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. The first, the last, which was dead and is alive. He which hath the sharp sword with two edges. Who are we talking about here? It's Jesus. How do we know? Because he's deity. Because he's God. Because each one of these things is speaking and in representation of his deity. I mean, the first, the last, which was dead and is alive. Hey, there's only one. It ain't Buddha. It ain't Muhammad. It's Jesus Christ. The only one who had the power to lay himself down and to take himself back up again. Yes. So it's Jesus Christ. This is who we're talking about. Each age, he is speaking, saying, this is who's doing the speaking. And oh, by the way, I am deity. It is God speaking this to you. He who hath eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. He that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. These things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. So each one of these things tells us who it is doing the speaking and revealing himself in a part of his deity, an expression of his deity. So that is very important to us to know. There's one messenger, and it's God speaking to that messenger, to you and I. And it's to both churches, both the true and the false. Amen? All right, so how does each age end? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. So we find three things so far. To the messenger, an expression of who's doing the speaking in deity, and that it's to who he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And that should be you that has an ear to hear. Amen. So these are things that the pattern that you're going to see, and there's, I think, two more that we'll find, and we'll develop those later on. But there's this a pattern in every single age that you see. And so that kind of breaks it down and puts a structure to the text of each one so that you understand what's going on. So we come then to just really starting to develop the Pergamene age. The deity that's being expressed here is, these things saith he which hath the sharp sword with two edges. So in this age, we're seeing that he's starting with the word, right? Because what's the sharp sword with two edges? It's the word. Hebrews 4:12. The word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. So this age is starting with the word, and then it's going to end with the word. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna. What are you going to hear? You're going to hear the word. You're going to hear the word. So this age, he's starting with the word. He's ending with the word. So the Spirit gives the word. He has the truth for each age. Each age has had its own elect. And that elect group always heard the word and received it, proving they had the seed in them. They heard the word, they received it, and they proved that they had the seed in them. And that's what we're talking about, you know, because we kind of started there with the questions, and we talked about Joshua and Caleb, and we talked about those 10 spies, and that those 10 spies, you know, they believed. If you would have asked them, do you believe the word for your age? Yes, I do. Do you believe Moses a prophet? Yes, I do. And then they go, and they're dead, like, soon. Not very long after, because they brought back an evil report. And so God cursed them. So did they believe or didn't they? So then how do you begin to tell, like, just because you can stand here and say, well, yes, I believe the message. Yeah. That's on my wall.
Yep, that's right.
Does that mean you received the word? No, it doesn't. And it's sad. It should. It should mean that. But it doesn't. And these 10 spies and the 1,999,998 prove that to us. So then you begin to realize, like, whoa. Well, you should, anyway. Start beginning to realize, like, whoa.
Yes.
Okay. Just got real here, didn't it? Because out of 2 million,
yes.
Only 2. Yeah, that's why Brother Brennan preached this message titled One in a Million. It's not many, is it? Because in Noah's day, only 8. In Jesus' day, only 6. Prior to Jesus being born, there was only 6. Brother Branham tells us. There's not many. Not many that actually hear. There's many that, oh, sure, they hear the word physically. audibly. They hear it, and that's good. You have to do that. But those that actually hear to have the seed on the inside, yeah, it just gets real, doesn't it, church? It just gets real. It's not a game that we're playing here, but this is the reality of life. This is the reason for being. This is the reason you are created and exist. The reason you have every breath that you are drawing right now is because God wanted to express himself, because God wanted fellowship. He wanted to express his attributes, of which you, and then he wanted to, as we talked about last time, he wanted to then make a proposal to someone and have them be able to have the choice and say, yes, I choose you. God wanted that. And that's why you exist. And so you can think it's so to have fun, to do this, to do that, to do whatever. But really, your life, your reasons for being here, it is to be one of those who is part of that, that he that hath an ear. And yeah, it just got real. It just got serious. This is what everything is about. This is why Christians throughout all centuries have been known to sell their entire lives, to be burned at the stake, to be put on the rack, to be tortured, to be drawn asunder, to be whatever it is. Many Christians throughout all ages have gone through those things because they recognized that it wasn't about them having a good time here on this earth. They recognized that it was about them responding to a proposal from an almighty God who loved them. It was about them hearing the words of almighty God. You know those same words that said, let there be, and there was. They wanted to hear those words and let there be in their own lives, and there was. Amen. And that's what this life is about.
Yes,
so the proof of the indwelling spirit in 1 Corinthians 14:37, if any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Now see that the proof of the indwelling spirit was to acknowledge and follow what God's prophet gave for his age as he set the church in order. Paul had to say to those who claimed another revelation, what? Came the word of God out from you? Or came it unto you only? And so ask yourself that question. Has the word of God come out from me? Or is it just coming to me? Has it just come unto me? It's like, oh yeah, it's the word. I believe the prophet. Yeah, follow. Yeah, no problem. Picture on the wall. Yeah, great. No, but is the word coming out from you too? Is it being acknowledged and followed? You see, you know, I was just kind of reminded, Anna Mae and I were going through just old. You know, I felt old today. Because we were going through, you know, what was it, 2003, so 16 years now, and maybe a few more, of preacher notes, you know, and how my notes and my quotes and everything, how that's changed, you know, and had the box because I was looking for a sermon I want to take to Norway, and so we had the box that has all my stuff in it, you know, and all these notes, and they're scattered and everything, and it was like, it used to be, you know, the printout, you know, from the 98 version of the message search software, back in 98. When I was how old in 1998? How old are you?
18.
When I was 18 in 1998. And I'm not going to toot my own horn. Maybe you can say, wow, you were a minister. Okay, yeah, you would do that. Well, again, I didn't know I was a minister, but in 1998, I was 18 years old, and I spent my own $100 for my own copy of the message search software. Why? Why would I do such a thing? Let me go back a slide here. Because I wanted to acknowledge and follow what that prophet said. I wanted to acknowledge and follow what that prophet said. Huh. How should I do my hair? You know, you guys don't have to spend $100 these days, do you? You got this little blue icon now on the phone that you already had. The phone is like way more than $100 and way more than the computer that I had to put the message search software on. But, you know, your parents are probably getting that for you anyway, so there you go, no excuse. So now you get it for free, and you can click on this little thing, you know, and And if you wanted to, because when I was 18, it was just like, okay, should brothers wear shorts? Okay, well, it's easy. You just click all, you click the little search thing, shorts, S-O-R-T-S, search, 375 results. Well, maybe we should put in a few more terms to kind of to narrow this down. But if you wanted to acknowledge and follow what the prophet said you should do in your life. To prove that you have the Holy Spirit? No, because if you have the Holy Spirit and you begin to go, you know, should I act this way? Should I do this thing in my life? Well, there's an easy, you know, for someone who's filled with the Holy Spirit, it's just so easy now to know. Look, back in Martin's day, it was pretty difficult. There was a lot of ignorance, but there's none today. There is no ignorance today. Because every one of you has this. If you don't, you should. Because I'm pretty sure everyone's got a smartphone. Except for Brother Lee. But Anna's got one, so she can search for him. So anytime he needs to know something, he can just... Anna, what did Prophet say about that? Okay. Good. But he's probably got tons of books and all kinds of things. Doing it old school, you see, I felt old because I had Message Search 98 notes printed out, but I thank God I could search something, These brothers a little bit more than me, they put topics, they wrote the topics on the front of the book. I don't know if anybody's been to somebody's house and seen those, my father-in-law's got, man, you want to know what he said about this and this and this and this? Well, he talks about these things and these messages, and this is the page numbers, man. They made their own indexes. Why? So they could acknowledge and follow what the prophet said. Because they had the Holy Ghost in their life. So, you want to know about how you should dress? Well, they're there. How you should wear your hair.
Yes. Amen.
Well, it's in there. Right. Well, I'll just throw a few out there. I'll just throw a few out there because he talks about it. Should I dye my hair? It's in there. Right. He talks about it. What kind of shoes should I wear? You could search heels. Talks about it. Hey, Brother Trevor, you against heels? How? Calm down. Calm down. All I'm saying is it's in there. Amen. There's stuff he's mentioned in there. And if you have the Holy Spirit, the proof of that indwelling spirit is that you would acknowledge and follow what he said. Amen. So I don't even have to sit there and whip you. You don't have to come into this church. Bless God, in this church, this is the way it's done because this is the way we see how the prophet said it should be done. So deacons, they come in the door with those purple shoes, you turn them right back out the door. No. That's not what we're talking about. The proof of the indwelling of the Spirit isn't that you conform to the rules the church set out before you and their understanding of the message. No, the proof of the indwelling of the Spirit is that when you're 18 years old, you would spend $100 for 1998 Message Search software so that you could find out, what did he say about this? And how can I make my life in line with this? And some of you are probably way older than 18 years old and could probably still say, what did he say about this? And how can I put my life in line with this? That's what we're here for. Why? Because he spoke to each age unto the angel. So if you want to know what God is saying to your age, you go to what the angel said for your age. And then you acknowledge and follow it. Not from an externalism, but because a change has come in the inside of your life. And you can't help yourself. So maybe now some of you, I hope you're intrigued. And I hope you say, well, what is it that he said about those things? What is it? And look, there's so many. Look, I could just mention 100 different things that he's talked about on how to live our lives. Things that he has said that we can apply to our lives, how to live, how to act, not just how to dress, how to present ourselves, but how to have relationships with one another, how brethren should,
Yes.
I mean, man, brethren have, a doctrinal disagreement, they should get behind road signs and throw rocks at one another. And then they should get back in the car and clean up a bag of oranges. and say those were good times. Amen. You know, if we had more doctrinal arguments like that, you know, man, we'd probably be farther up the road. You see, there's all kinds of things the prophet talks about in how we should live, and not just in outward experience, outward things. Those are there, and we should look at those. But there's also things about how our attitudes should be, how we ought to conduct ourselves.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Now, I had a lot of slides, and Brother Furman calculated how long I could spend on each slide. And I said, well, I'll get to some of those really fast, and then some I'll just stay on for a while. So, amen. So here we are. Wed said, the evidence of a spirit-filled Christian believer is not to produce the truth, the word, but to receive the truth, the word, and to believe and obey it.
Yes.
It's to believe and obey it, not to produce it. Again, if you look, hey, doing things that are right because they're right, good. Good job. Keep doing that. Wish the whole world did what was right because it was right. Be a beautiful place to live. Okay? But that's still not the point. It's to get it inside. It's to let it change you. To become so enamored and so captivated by what it's saying, by how beautiful it is, by the reality of that if all men had this on the inside, what a millennium would be produced. And that's absolutely the truth. Because if we have Jesus, Jesus is the best part of the millennium. Amen. I'm not saying we're in the millennium now because we have Jesus. Do not misunderstand me and go into that doctrine, okay? We're all together here. But Jesus is the best part of the millennium. And if every man had Jesus the way he ought, we would be in a millennium. Because there would be nothing wrong. Amen. So God, I don't want to look at those people and say, you need Jesus better. No. I'm going to turn the mirror on me and say, how can I get Jesus better? Where can I be more like him? Amen. So then we begin to look then at the evidence of a spirit-filled Christian believer is not to produce the word, but to receive the word, the truth, and to believe it and obey it, to acknowledge and follow, to hear what the prophet is saying, to hear what the spirit of your age is saying through the messenger to your age, and to believe it and to go live it. This is the evidence of the Holy Ghost in your life. Amen?
Amen.
Now, Brother Branham started in his ministry, he thought it was love. He went through kind of some different things. Why? Because, look, if you have the Holy Spirit, you have Jesus, you will love. If you have the Holy Spirit, you will live the right kind of life. If you have the Holy Spirit, yes, all of these things. But then there were many manifestations, and Brother Branham had to come and correct many of the things that Pentecostalism had done. And so he had to begin to deal with these things because there were many things going on, and there's scripture to back these things up. And so he begins to bring us into the scripture and talk about, look, just because you go and serve God with all of your heart and just, man, you put all your muscle into it and you have a gift in your life and you go and do it, does that mean anything? Does that mean you have the Holy Spirit? No. No, you see, the difference becomes very slight because you could have two people doing kind of the same thing. Well, we'll get into that. But first, let's talk about, you know, manifestations of the Spirit of God are not the evidence. We'll talk about Balaam. Numbers 23, verse 5. Here's the word of God just telling us, you know, the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth. Now, how many here would just love to say that Balaam was a true prophet of the living God? I mean, the Lord put a word in his mouth. But he went after money, all of these things. And then finally, he comes in chapter 31 and he's dead. He's killed by the Israelites. This is the man who comes and puts and tells Balak, here's how you get these Israelites. You get them to marry up with idolatry. Oh yeah, Pergamos means married. You get them to marry up with idolatry, and then God will be forced to judge them. And that's how you get them. This is not what a true prophet does. He knew the right things. God even used him and put a word in his mouth. And Brother Branham tells us, this is just interesting. Yet, who would dare to deny the Spirit of God manifested through him in one of the most beautiful portions of absolutely accurate prophecy the world has ever seen? That's Balaam, the guy who was the downfall of many, many Israelites, whose doctrine the Lord hates. But the Lord put a word in his mouth. So are manifestations the evidence of the Spirit? Do you think Balaam had the Spirit? No. The Spirit of God doesn't go and tell people how to get other Spirit-filled people to fall into sin. It doesn't happen. All right? Numbers 24, we'll just look at verse 4. He hath said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. So Balaam sees a vision. Then he begins to say, how goodly are thy tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel. Look, the Holy Spirit came down on him. The manifestation of God came down on him, and he did things that were truth. But Balaam in himself was not true. Amen. Caiaphas, out of John chapter 11, verse 51. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation. Now, the prophecy was true. The prophecy was absolutely accurate. He talked about how Jesus would die. Because he said, that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation perish not. Well, it's exactly what Jesus did. So the prophecy is fulfilled. The prophecy is true. It's a true prophecy. It's a true manifestation. But this is on Caiaphas, who said, yeah, take him to the Romans and get him crucified. This is a false vessel. So, my. Anointed ones at the end time, you could listen to that tape if you were more interested on more on this topic. Manifestation aren't the evidence. Pentecostal meeting. You know, you can have two people. You can have two people and they can look so close. So very close. But one's false and one's true. But yet they're doing the same thing. Actually, they're even swapping parts. And maybe some of you are coming to the story. It's that story Brother Branham tells about being in Mishawaka. And about, you know, and he goes there and he sees this one guy get up and speak in tongues. And he sees another guy get up and interpret. And then the next night, the other guy gets up and speaks in tongues. And the other guy interprets. He's like, oh my, what is this? He says, well, I got a gift in my life, so I'll just go figure this out. So he begins to talk to the men, and he finds out this first guy, man, what a real true Christian. This, and then, of course, they're asking him, you know, hey, have you spoken tongues yet? Oh, well, if you haven't spoken tongues, you don't have the Holy Spirit yet. Of course, their doctrine wasn't quite right yet, but, you know, he said this one guy, he was a true Christian. And then the second man, he comes, and he finds out this guy, same manifestations as this other guy. To look at them, you would find no difference. And he realizes this guy's married to a blonde, but he's living with a brunette and has two kids with her. And he's a hypocrite. But yet, tongues, interpretation. So how is it then? Well, it's really close, isn't it? It's just super, super close that we have to really begin to analyze our own selves and say, you know, is this real in me? Or am I just acting out a part? Am I just playing church? Am I trying to produce this? Or has this come on the inside? Look, the sheep doesn't have to try. The sheep doesn't sit there and go, time to bear wool. Hing! Bink! You know. Doesn't happen. Sheep gets up. Sheep eats sheep food. Sheep bears wool. Man, the life of a sheep is just really idyllic. It's very easy. It's very, you know, it's just so, so joyous and refreshing and... And so is the life of a true Christian. Because you don't have to try. You don't have to struggle. There's many trials. There's many things that try to get us away. But, you know, if we spent maybe more of our time in prayer like St. Martin, maybe we'd achieve more of that celestial joy on our face. And maybe people would see us less grieved and upset.
Amen.
I mean, I've spent quite. I'm preparing to go to Scotland and be in where Columba was. I'm preaching in Scotland in a couple of weeks, and so I'm gonna tour a little bit of the Columba, who's the next Church Age Messenger area. You know, and he was a monk, and you know, it's just the more I'm looking at this, and the more I'm thinking about, I need more prayer in my life. I'm thinking, you know, the life of a monk is looking pretty good right now. I mean, I don't think that we should really go and put ourselves in a place and we just live this monastic lifestyle, and you know, I think we should impact the world. I think God has placed us where He placed us, you know. But the idea of just removing myself more and more and getting more into prayer.
Yeah. Amen.
And it. Right. Yeah, I'll just tell you this. I'll just a little personal note, and it doesn't matter and. Whatever, I'm not saying anything about it. But Wednesday night we had the brother that sang a song. He's originally from Congo, but he's in Norway, and I preached for them. And so they went to tour VGR on Wednesday, and I said, "Well, look, he didn't have any phone service. He was just using like GPS in his car and stuff, so it was really hard to communicate. He could only communicate when he was on Wi-Fi." So I told him, "Look, go take a tour of VGR at 3:30." Tabernacle will be open for prayer from 5 to 8. After the tour, they close at 5, go straight to the tabernacle, get there. You can pray in the tabernacle. That way you can at least see the tabernacle. You don't get to really tour it, but you get to see it. I'll meet you there at 5:30 after I get off of work, pick you up. We'll take you on a little tour, and then we'll go to our church real quick. Well, it's really hard, and then it's like you get there, and like they're not there. It's like, well, what do I do? I can't call the guy because he doesn't have phone service. I gotta just wait. Well, the church is open. Everybody else is having prayer. I went down, went inside, sat down for 30 minutes, had prayer. Loved every minute of it. Loved every minute of it. Thinking about going every Wednesday at 5 o'clock when I get off of work, just because it's 30 minutes of prayer time. I need that more in my life. Wherever I'm not just saying, hey, you guys need to all start going to this other church. We all know that's not what I'm saying right now. But what I'm saying is can you spare 30 minutes of a day to really come apart in an atmosphere that's not, you're not in a hurry, you're not worried. You're just in an atmosphere where it's quiet, where you can really get alone with God and express yourself to Him and hear Him talking back to you. That's where it starts, friends. That's where it starts. I don't think any of us can really claim that we have the Holy Spirit of God and not desire to speak to Him more. Amen? So we look at this more, we find there are two types of people. They can look so close, but the evidence of the Spirit isn't these manifestations. It isn't all the fantastics. It isn't all this outward expression. But it's something deep on the inside. That relationship, that yearning, that seed of God growing on the inside of you. Now, it should produce gifts. It should produce fruits of the Spirit in your life. You know, and this is why Brother Nathan was talking about, hey, you know, stop chewing gum in church because, you know, sometime the Holy Ghost in you might produce you getting up and prophesying or speaking in tongues, and that might not be so good if you have a, you know, bunch of gum in your mouth. And so, hey, be free for the Lord to use you. You ought to have the desire in your heart for God to use you. Amen. It ought to be the central theme of your life. Amen. God, use me for your glory. I can live without whatever for God to use me. Here also was the answer to Matthew 7, 21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. So there's going to be Christians, people who profess to be Christians, saying, Lord, hey, I know you. I did what you asked me to do. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have not we prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So the scripture declares there will be people on that day who cast out demons in the name of God, who did works for God, who profess to believe the Lord. But God will say, I didn't know you. You see, it's not about the things that you're doing. but it's about, do you know him and does he know you? Yes, the works should follow. Yes, the things should follow. Yes, we should have people prophesying. We should have people with a word of knowledge. We should have gifts of healing. We should have tongues. We should have interpretation. We should have the five offices. We should have all of these things going on. Yes. Amen. And those things should, don't seek these gifts. Seek the giver and he'll just do them. Amen. Coming to our, getting around here to our final quote. The evidence of receiving the Holy Ghost today is just the same as it was back in the day of our Lord. It is receiving the word of truth for the day in which you live. Jesus never did stress, the musicians can come. Jesus never did stress the importance of the works as he did the word. He knew that if the people got the word, the works would follow. That is Bible. So this age starts with the word and it ends with the word. The word is important. What God spoke to the messengers is important. And it's up to us to acknowledge the word and follow it. And it's very simple and it's very plain, and it really shouldn't be all that difficult for us, but many of us struggle to find the desire. And if you struggle to find the desire to do this, there's where that rub is, church. If you're struggling to find the desire to serve God, struggling to find the desire, oh church, as we talked about, this is the whole reason for being. You look up at the start, look, if you don't ever sit around and think, why am I here? You need to go one night somewhere dark and you need, to look up at the stars for like an hour and just begin to contemplate how vast and how great this universe truly is. And begin to allow that truth to sink into your heart to realize, I am just so small. I'm so tiny in this whole universe. And if I'm so tiny, then maybe I'm not as important as I think I am. And maybe you start thinking about, why am I here? Because there's an answer to that question, church. Of course, you never get the answer if you've never asked the question. So ask that question. Why am I here? What am I doing? What is my purpose? And allow God to answer that question. And then maybe you begin to desire what he truly has for you to become a reality in your life. To open yourself to say, okay, God, yeah, I'm ready. I'll do this. I want to fulfill my purpose. Brothers and sisters, it feels wonderful to fulfill a purpose. Like, it's one of the worst feelings ever to be just like, I don't have a purpose. I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just here. Maybe just existing. Who wants that? Why would you want that? Eventually playing video games is going to get boring. All of these things that you might find entertainment in, they're going to get boring. But worshiping and serving and allowing God to let the purpose that he has for you to well up into your life, to begin to go into that and say, okay, God, what is it that you'd like me to do it? How can I do it? Where does your prophet guide me in this? Lord, what can I do to make an impact on someone? What can I do to fulfill the purpose that you have for me? And then you begin to see, God actually beginning to do that and little successes. Man, God, you used me. It wasn't me, God. I just was there, but yet you used that gift that you put in me to do this thing, and I saw it, and wow. Church, that's a great feeling. That's a feeling God wants you to have. It's a feeling he's saying, come, change your ways. Stop the silliness. Stop the foolishness. Come to me. Let me make your life worth something. That's what he wants for you. That's what he wants for you. So would you come and do that? Would you say, God, I want your word to be so important to me. I want it to be everything. I want it to captivate me and let it just, I hope there's people I hope everyone in this church understands what I'm talking about. I want to be captivated by the word of God. This is a divine romance, friends. I want to be captivated by that love letter that he gave me. It says in the word, his commandments are not grievous to us. It comes to a place where it's just like, You want me to do that? Okay, great. This isn't a problem. I'm not being rebellious at all. There's no reason to why would I rebel against that? That's what you want? I think it's great. If you don't feel that way, I would like to tell you, you can. God is willing, ready, able, and wants to put that change in your life. If you'll seek Him. Because it's about the Word. And the Holy Spirit, the evidence of that Holy Spirit, which we all need, is to receive the Word. To let it become life. To acknowledge, to follow it. So your assignment then would be lessons 31 and 32. And of course, memorizing that when a spirit-born, spirit-filled man in faith takes the word of God into his heart and places it upon his lips, that's the same as deity speaking. Every mountain has to go. Satan cannot stand before that man. That's something worth memorizing, friends. Amen. Amen. We bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, your word is rich and lovely to us. Father, I've just poured out my heart. I didn't know how this was going to go at all and certainly took different turns than I thought. But Father, Lord, I pray. And I know, Lord, because your word says it, that your word wouldn't return to your void. So, Lord, I've just delivered what you put on my heart. Where we're at in this study. Lord, would your Holy Spirit come, Lord Jesus, and begin to quicken it? Begin to make it real. Father, I pray that you'd put the desire for the Word of God on every single heart in this place. That they would want to be so captivated by it. That they would want, Lord, what you have for them. That they would want to be instructed by it. But they would want to be, Father, how could we not want to be instructed by Almighty God Himself? How could we not want to do exactly what you would want us to do? Oh, change our hearts, oh God. Father, we are but dust. We are but flesh, Lord Jesus. We err so much. Our flesh wars and fights against you, Father. Many times we find ourselves right there in Romans chapter 7. How to perform? I don't find it, Lord. I don't know how to do good. I want to do good, but then I do evil. God, oh, help us, Father, to always remember your grace is there. And you've already overcome it. Father, may we have the overcomer on the inside. Oh, pour your spirit upon each heart and each life, oh God. Bless us now, oh Lord God. How we need you, Father. Lord, we're looking forward to learning more about this Pergamene age, Father. Lord, I just pray. I pray that we would be mightily instructed by it. Lord, we want to tell you we love you. We find you worthy of all glory and honor. Live through our lives, we ask you. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 God bless you, church.
Appreciate that tonight. Amen. Let's just sing that together. Oh, Jesus, use me. And oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Oh, surely there's a work that I can do. Oh, and even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. And though the cost be great, I'll work for you. Number 247 in your hymn book, if you don't know it. Oh, dear Lord, I'll be a witness. If you will help my weakness, I know that I'm not worthy, Lord, of thee. By eyes of faith I see thee,
Calvary. Dear Lord, I cry, let me thy servant be.
Is that your desire tonight? Why don't we stand and sing it?
Oh, Jesus, use me. And oh, Lord, don't refuse me. Oh, surely there's a work that I can do. And even though it's humble, Lord, help my will to crumble. And though the cost be great, I'll work for thee.
Let's sing it this way tonight.
He's the lily of the valley, the bright and morning star. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the beautiful rose of Sharon. He's all the world to me. But best of all, he is my coming King. Oh, we pray, Jesus, use me. Oh, Lord, don't refuse me. For surely there's a work that I can do.
Amen. Certainly enjoyed that tonight. It's good to be reminded of those things. Appreciate Brother Trevor yielding to the Holy Spirit that he would lead him and guide him. And I would just encourage you. I know there's at least three young brothers. Brothers, you can go ahead and pray for him if you would. I know there's at least three brothers here that have approached me about different things that the Lord is laying on their heart to do. And I believe that not just for those brothers, but for different ones of you, different things that God is leading and guiding you to do as God is placing you in the body of Jesus Christ. And I would encourage you, take the time to pray and take the time to seek him and see how he's leading you. Say, Brother Nathan, I'm so busy. Take a vacation day and spend time with him. Do whatever you got to do. Set aside some time and put him first and see if he won't lead you and guide you into what he has for you. Amen. Let's sing this together. Number 314.
He lets me walk down roads of disappointment. Oh, he watches and he knows what's best for me. The more I'm tried, the better he can mold me and change my life completely, that it will fit his perfect will. Oh, that's just his way of telling me he loves me. Oh, it's a love beyond all human understanding. And I won't question trials that bring me to
my knees, that's just His way of telling me He loves me. If I'm successful just walking through this valley, I know He'll give me strength to climb the highest hill. My greatest strength comes through my darkest trial, and my greatest joy is knowing that He can trust in me. Oh, that's just His way of telling me He loves me. Oh, it's a love beyond all human understanding. Telling me He loves me. As they play that softly, we got a prayer request. It says, please pray for my sister-in-law, Linda, with kidney problems. Thank you, Sister Weber. And so we want to remember this prayer request for Sister Weber's sister-in-law. Let's just bow our heads together. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you see this prayer request. You know all about it. You know the need with the kidney problems. Lord, I ask that you'd go to this lady, Father. Just touch her. Heal her kidneys. May a testimony come forth from it. Lord, thank you for this atmosphere that we felt here tonight, Lord. And just feeling scoured out, Lord, by the word that, Lord, it just brings us into a closer relationship with you. And help us to lay aside our petty things that would steal our time, Lord. But help us to enter into a closer relationship and a closer fellowship with you. Be with each one, Father. In Jesus Christ's name, thank you, Lord. Oh, of telling me He loves me. Oh, it's a love beyond all human understanding that bring me to my knees. That's just His way of telling me He loves me.
Amen. Are you thankful you decided to follow Jesus? Amen. I have decided to follow Jesus. To follow Jesus, I won't turn back, I won't turn back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. I won't turn back. Believe this.
satisfies, it satisfies, it satisfies. Though none go with me, still will I follow. Though none go with me, still will I follow. Though none go with me, still will I follow. I won't turn back, I won't turn back. Oh, I am feasting on milk and honey. It satisfies, oh satisfies. Just take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Oh, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. I won't turn back, I won't turn back. Oh, I'm so glad this message. Oh, I'm so glad I believe this message. Oh, I'm so glad I believe this message. It satisfies, it satisfies. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross.
To leave tonight, to start as we go and prepare for our week. Just fill my way every day with love. Amen.
Let me walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to that land above. Oh, giving cheer everywhere to the sad and the lone. Fill my way every day with love. Oh, fill my way every day with love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, oh, let me go all the while and a smile. Fill my way every day with your love and keep me close to the side of my Savior and God. Clap it to him. Saints, greet one another in the name of the Lord. You can be dismissed every day with love.
will be over.